There are 10 words in Scripture that make the difference for those who desire to live fully for Jesus Christ. These 10 words proclaim a powerful promise. They define the Christian faith, and they provide a personal confidence to the heart of every believer. If you will understand them, they will radically change your life. If you will believe them, they will breathe renewed strength into your heart and sustain you through the most difficult seasons of life. Stay with us and learn these 10 important words.
The 10 most powerful words you will ever hear. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. This verse is the basis of our series and the foundation of our faith in Christ. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. God has given us an incredible promise in His Word that opens the door to biblical faith and spiritual victory. In our series, Living Life Through Christ, we will learn how the essence of our faith is found in the promises of God. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called All Things Through Christ.
I think of the testimony of Adoniram Judson, one of the great Baptist missionaries of the 19th century. In the late 1800s, rather, he went out to Burma, a town or a country that had no gospel witness. As Judson arrived in Burma, he began to labor to learn the language and to witness. He did that for 7 consecutive years before he ever saw one person come to Christ. One wife died, and his second wife was placed on a ship and sent back to America. At one occasion, he was imprisoned for his faith. And yet, through all of these trials, he was faithful. He believed that through Christ, it was possible. Finally, one soul came to Christ, and then another, and another. And before that man left Burma, there were thousands of Burmese people who had trusted in Jesus Christ because of a man who had learned through his burden, through his abasement, to continue trusting God. Oh, I'm thankful today that through abasement and through those times when we feel terrible and low, that then we can say, I can do all things through Christ. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Not only through abasement, but through his affliction. He said in verse 12, he suffered need. He said in verse 14, notwithstanding you have done well, that you did communicate with my affliction. If you're taking notes, the word affliction here means a pressure or a pain, as with childbirth. He said that sometimes being in the ministry, leading people to the Lord, discipling them, helping them through their trouble, it was like affliction. The ministry, raising a godly family, leading others in the way of the Lord, sometimes is like childbirth. And yet through his affliction, God had been faithful. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, one of the great Baptist preachers in all of English history and all of the world's history, had a verse on his wall just across from his bed where he slept at night. The last thing he saw every evening and the first thing he saw every morning was this verse from Isaiah 48:10, which says, I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. God's choice makes chosen men choice men. We are chosen, he said, not in the palace, but in the furnace. Charles Haddon Spurgeon learned how to walk with God in the difficult times, and God used him throughout his life. Well, here we see a positive promise. No matter what the burden may be, we can do all things through Christ. No matter how great the pain, no matter how sincere and severe the loneliness, we can do all things through Christ. But I want you to notice, secondly, not only through the burdens, but we have this positive promise through the blessings. Through the blessings of life. Now, I don't want you to think that all of Paul's days were lowly and difficult, though many were, without a doubt. But some days were days when he abounded in the Lord and in life. He says in verse number 12, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. You'll notice in verse 10, he says, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again. Paul said, I knew what it was to have times in my life when I had flourishing care. The word flourish means to revive one. He said, there were times when my life was revived, when I was encouraged greatly. He said, there were times when I had abundance in my life. I was abundantly furnished by God. Now, I want you to listen very carefully. Sometimes success and blessings are as much a test as adversity is a test. Sometimes, and many of you have been blessed in 2005, and I praise God for that. I praise God for His blessings on your life, your family, your businesses. But one of the great tests of life is, how do you handle blessings? How do you handle those times of success? And I pray that you, with the Apostle Paul, will say, no matter what the season, if it was a season of abasement, if it was a season of blessing, I can do all things through Christ. And though you have been blessed, that you will choose, as your business is blessed, you will choose as your career is blessed, to honor the Lord Jesus Christ in every circumstance. I can do all things through Christ. I can be abased, I can abound, everywhere in between. If I live in the right way, it will be through Christ, which strengtheneth me. We have a positive promise. I can do all things. But now I want you to notice, secondly, this morning, we have a powerful promise. And I want you to see that this is not a message about the power of positive thinking, so-called, but this is a message about what God wants to do in your life. It is a powerful promise because it says, I can do all things, notice the next two words, through Christ. Let's say those two words together, shall we? Through Christ. I can do all things through Christ. Now, my friend, without Christ, we can do nothing. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Without Him, you cannot save yourself. Without Him, you cannot have the forgiveness of sin. Without Him, you cannot have a home in heaven. Without Him, there is nothing that will be accomplished that has an eternal benefit. And so I share with you in the first place this morning that we are redeemed through Christ. That's where it all begins. No one is redeemed. No one has the forgiveness of sins. No one is purchased, if you will, apart from the blood of Jesus Christ. Now let's look in our Bibles at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. And let's see what it means to be redeemed through Christ. To be redeemed through Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. It says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, that means your empty lifestyle of the past, received by the tradition of your fathers. But notice verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. My friend, there is no amount of money that will be spent to get you into heaven. You're not going to stand at the pearly gates one day and pay $1 million to get into heaven. You are not redeemed with the monies of this world. You are not redeemed by the churches of this world. You are not redeemed by the denominations of this world. There is one way that your sins will be forgiven, and that one way is by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of the blood, there is no remission of sin. And we are redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for the virgin-born Son of God who came to this earth and who lived a perfectly sinless life. And though He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet He was without sin. And yet that perfectly sinless Son of God went to the old rugged cross. As He went up Golgotha's hill and came to that cross, the Roman soldiers put nails through His hands and through His feet. And the blood that was shed that day was shed for the sins of the world in order that we might have the redemption that is only through Christ Jesus. We are redeemed through Christ. But I want to share with you, secondly, we are renewed through Christ. Sometimes those of us who are saved, we need the renewing and the energizing and the strength that comes only from Jesus Christ. How does that happen? I want you to notice, in the first place, we are renewed by the presence of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we say to children, have you accepted Jesus into your heart? Would you like to ask Jesus into your heart? And by that we mean that when they ask Jesus into their heart, they are born again by the Spirit of God. Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. And when someone receives Christ as their Savior, then the Spirit of God takes up residence in their life. The Bible speaks of it in Galatians 2:20 in this way, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. How many of you are thankful this morning that Christ liveth in you? He lives in you. And if you are redeemed, then you have his presence today, and you are renewed by his presence, and you are renewed by his power working within you. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 28:18, all power is given unto me. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Then he gave his great commission. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And here it is, lo, I am with you always. My friend, your Savior and mine lives within us. He is all powerful. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He is with you all the time. You say, but I can't witness to someone. It's too hard. I can't say no to my rebellious teenager. I can't say yes to this situation. I know I should say yes to. I want you to understand God will renew you with his presence. God will renew you with his power, and God will renew you for his purpose. God has a purpose for your life in this new year. It's not all about you. It's not all about me. It's not all about pride. It's all about glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:12, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. My friends, every one of us have been saved for a reason, for a purpose. And that purpose is not that we might live for ourselves. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. We are here to live on purpose. And that purpose is to glorify God and to bring others to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And the power behind that is the power of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He said, all power is given unto me. And so we read about this morning a promise of God. It is a positive promise. I can do all things. It is a powerful promise. I can do all things through Christ. But I want you to see finally this morning, it is a permanent promise. This is a promise for today and tomorrow and the whole year and until Jesus Christ comes again. Now let's look at Philippians 4:13, which is our theme verse for the year. And let's read it together once again. Philippians 4:13. Let's read it together. Ready, begin. I can do all things through Christ. Here we have a prepositional phrase. Here we see Christ strengthening us. It's not just for the moment. He doesn't say, who strengthened me once. He says, which strengtheneth me continuously. It means, if you're taking notes, to endure with power or to make strong. I thank God today that the Lord Jesus Christ strengthens me day after day. There are some days where you go to bed and you just don't know how you can live another day. And yet, by the grace of God, you live that next day and you do what God wants you to do. I believe that's what Isaiah had in mind when he said, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's because of the power of God. Now then, here's the question. How does God strengthen me? It's one thing for a preacher to say, God's going to strengthen you. And it's one thing to read the Bible and see that the Lord will strengthen us. But how does the Lord intend for that to be accomplished in my life this year? I want to show you how. First of all, he is going to strengthen you through the Holy Spirit of God. Through the Holy Spirit of God. A moment ago, I said that we are born again by the Spirit of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. If you are here today and you are saved, then you have received the Spirit of God in your life. Romans 9:7 says that that which has not the Spirit of God is none of his. You don't get Jesus one day and the Holy Spirit the next month. You receive the Lord and the Spirit of God at the same moment. In John chapter 14 and verse 16, Jesus was explaining the ministry of the Holy Spirit to his disciples. And this is what he said. He said, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. God says, one of the ways I'm going to strengthen you, one of the ways I'm going to comfort you when you stand at the hospital bed, one of the ways I'm going to help you when the day is difficult, is that from within, now that you're one of my children, I'm going to energize and strengthen and comfort you by the presence of my Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16 says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. May we walk in the Spirit that we might not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And may we rely not on the arm of the flesh which fails, but may we rely on the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Maybe you heard about the three frogs that fell into the barrel of cream. Boy, there they were. They were fearing for their life. They were trapped. One of the frogs got so concerned, he looked down. He didn't know what to do. After a little while, he just drowned in it. The second frog got so nervous, he tried and tried to kick his legs and swim, but he got so tired, he finally gave up and drowned too. But that third frog simply kept kicking methodically, steadily, patiently, until that cream turned into butter, and then he just jumped right out. Now I'm telling you what, I'm thankful that I serve a God that gives me just enough strength to let me kick steadily, just enough strength to help me keep on going day by day by day. Sometimes I want him to get me right out of the problem, but I found when he doesn't get me right out of the problem, he gives me enough grace to endure the trial that I may be in at that moment. His grace strengthens me day by day by day. He'll strengthen you through the Spirit of God. Secondly, he wants to strengthen you this year through the preaching of the Word of God. Now you listen to me. You will not have a blessed year without this blessed book. It won't happen. You need daily in the Word, and you need to be daily in the Word, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. You listen to me. When you won't listen to your husband, when you won't listen to your wife, when you haven't been faithful to listen, even in God's house, if you will listen to the Word of God, it will prick you where you need to be pricked. It will convict you where you need to be convicted. It will take a rebellious teenager and turn their heart back to their parents. It will take a rebellious man and turn him away from the wicked internet and turn him towards his wife. It will take that couple that's about to fall apart in their marriage, and the Word of God will bring their life back together. That's why the psalmist said, thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. That's why the psalmist said, uphold me according to thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. My friend, you cannot live apart from the Christian life this year and from the Word of God this year. And so we have this strength through the Holy Spirit, and we have this strength through the Word of God. But notice thirdly now, we have this strength through the people of God. Through the people of God. Did you know that God ordained something called the local church to be a place where you would be strengthened in the new year? That this is to be a place where we find edification and help and encouragement. I want to tell you folks, we ought to determine right now that this would be the most uplifting, encouraging, positive year in the history of Lancaster Baptist Church. People can get bad news somewhere else. They can get it in the newspaper, on the television. They can get discouraged at work. But may they find here that when they need strength and when they're lowly and when they're discouraged, they can come to the house of God and find a teacher that loves them and a prayer partner that cares about them and a care group leader that helps them and an usher that is kind and a deacon that serves, and that they can find music that will lift them up. I believe the local church is to be a place where God's people get filled up and ready to go for another week to serve Jesus Christ. I heard about an old Peanuts cartoon where Lucy walked into the room and she said to her brother Linus, Linus, change the channel on the television. Linus looked at his sister Lucy and said, what makes you think you can walk right in here and take over like that? Lucy looked at him, put her fist together, and she said, these five fingers make me think that. She said, individually, they're nothing. But when I curl them up together, they form a weapon that is terrible to behold. How many of you had a sister like that? Anybody like have a sister like that? Linus says, all right, what channel do you want? Walking out of the room somewhat dejectedly, he looked at his fingers and said, "Why can't you guys get organized like that?" I believe the local church needs to be organized around the purpose of encouraging and edifying and evangelizing and doing the work of God. That's how the church at Philippi was. Notice in our text here in the book of Philippians chapter 4, verse 18, there was a man from the church named Epaphroditus, perhaps the pastor of the church. And Paul writes of him and he says, "But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." This local church at Philippi, they wanted to lift the burden of a missionary. And so they sent an offering to the missionary. By the way, we don't give to the church. We give to God through the church. They were giving to the missionary, but they were giving to God as they gave to the missionary. You want to know what God thinks about your tithing and giving in the new year? Look at this verse 18. He says, "A sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well pleasing to God." Their giving to the missionary pleased God. They were an encouraging church, helping each other to do the work of God. And that's what this church should be every single day of the year, encouraging others in the work of God. Notice, if you would, in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. Hebrews 10, 24. And here are some beautiful words. It says there, "And let us consider one another." Self-centered people get discouraged. They get despondent. No one cares for them enough. No one understands the trouble they've seen. But someone that's living for others, there is joy, joy, joy in serving Jesus Christ. And it says here, let's consider one another. Think about one another. Pray for one another. Notice it says, to provoke unto love and good works. Oh, listen, we ought to go up to those that we know and love in the Lord, and we ought to say, pray for me, not just to lose 10 pounds. Pray for me to bring someone to Christ. Pray for me to do real well at work with my witness. Pray for me to be a better husband. Pray for me to be a better father. Pray for me in my giving this year. I want to honor the Lord as never before. We ought to be encouraging one another to press on the upward way. Oh, listen, any old backslidden Christian can discourage you and tell you, why do you go to church so much? And why are you always talking about God? And you know, you don't have to be that committed after all. That's just a bunch of legalism. Anybody can throw water on a fire, but it takes a godly Christian to throw another log on the fire and encourage somebody in the Lord. May we consider one another this year, and may we provoke one another to love and to good works. And by the way, verse 25, and it says, and not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. Listen, you've done a good thing today. You did not forsake the assembling. Let me encourage you tonight to be right back. Let me encourage you this year to be faithful. Don't forsake the assembling, but be faithful to assemble with the local church where we might pray, encourage, love, where we might grow in the Word of God. Oh, it's so vitally important. Why don't you this year claim with me this promise? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notice it. I can do all things. It's a positive promise. Through Christ, it's a powerful promise which strengtheneth me. It is a permanent promise. You can hold it. You can claim it. You can trust the Word of God that He will give you the strength that you need day after day after day. Now, if you're here this morning and you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then my friend, you can do nothing through a Savior you have not met. You can do nothing through a Savior that does not live in you. And if you have never been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, listen, today is the day of salvation. And the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you have questions about how to enter into a relationship with Jesus, we would love to talk to you more about what it means to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Simply call us toll-free at 1-800-201-7748. In life, there's nothing more important than knowing where you'll spend eternity. Some people believe that being a good person is their pass to get into heaven, or that this life is all there is. But nothing could be further from the truth. That's why Pastor Paul Chappell wants us to send you his newest book called Paid in Full, Your Debt, God's Payment, as a thanks when you support this ministry financially. Call us at 1-800-68-TODAY or go to dailyintheword.org to request this book for yourself or a loved one. That's 800-688-6329 or dailyintheword.org. Thanks in advance for your support. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 28 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message. Connect with us and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.